In 1975, a young woman rides a Moto Velera motorcycle across the Nevada desert, her gas tank adorned with a taped map marking her path. She's an artist from Reno, nicknamed Reno for her hometown, creating art through velocity, drawing in time as she once did while ski racing as a child. Her destination? The Bonneville Salt Flats, where she'll attempt a land speed record, not for glory, but as an artistic statement. This motorcycle journey becomes a metaphor for her larger navigation through the male-dominated worlds of art, wealth, and political revolution in 1970s America and Italy. Her story unfolds against backdrops of stunning contrasts, the stark American desert and the chaotic streets of Rome, the exclusive New York art scene, and the gritty factories of industrial Italy, revealing how speed, art, and revolution intersect in unexpected ways. What happens when performance becomes reality? This question haunts characters throughout their artistic journeys. Gittle, a waitress at a downtown diner, began her job as an ironic piece of performance art, yet over time, her performed identity took root. "My performed life grew roots," she explains, showing how sustained performance can crystallize into authentic existence. Reno's art exists in a similar liminal space. Her motorcycle speed trials and films attempt to capture raw, unmediated experience. When she crashes on the salt flats, a moment of genuine danger, she transforms trauma into art through photographs of the broken salt crust. These images function as both documentary evidence and aesthetic objects. Other characters navigate this spectrum differently. Ronnie Fontaine constructs an image of sophistication masking opportunism. Sandra Valera's minimalist aluminum boxes reject personal expression entirely. The white gloves he uses, protecting surfaces from human contact, symbolize emotional detachment in both art and relationships. His betrayal of Reno with his cousin Talia reveals this compartmentalization extends beyond art into his personal life. The relationships in 1970s New York reveal complex power imbalances that mirror broader social hierarchies. Reno's relationship with Sandra Valera exemplifies this dynamic. As an established artist from a wealthy Italian family, Sandro possesses significant social and cultural capital. He introduces her merely as a young artist influenced by land art, positioning her work as derivative. Their age gap, she in her 20s, he in his late 30s, combined with economic disparity, creates an uneven foundation. Sexual politics permeate these relationships with undercurrents of control. When Reno discovers Sandro kissing his cousin in Italy, the betrayal feels like an inevitable conclusion. Earlier, during intimacy, her mind drifts to a woman readying to lose herself, suggesting psychological disconnection from physical intimacy. Female friendship offers some counterbalance to these unequal romantic dynamics. When Gittle pours a drink over Sandro's head at Rudy's bar, she acts out Reno's suppressed anger, demonstrating solidarity against male dominance in the art world. Meanwhile, male relationships, like Ronnie and Sandro's, operate under different dynamics based on mutual artistic respect. This contrast highlights how gender fundamentally shapes experiences of power within all relationships. The Valera Motorcycle Company combines sleek Italian design with brutal labor exploitation. T.P. Valera's rubber operations in Brazil reveal capitalism at its cruelest, with workers carrying 100-pound rubber biscuits through dense jungle, loads calculated to be within human limits, but just barely, maximizing profit while disregarding human dignity. When Reno arrives in Rome after discovering Sandro's betrayal, she finds unexpected community in revolutionary politics. Unlike New York's exclusive art world, these activists offer her unexpected kindness without asking for credentials, freely sharing food, ideas, and space. The demonstrations reveal both the power and limitations of collective action. Women march with hand-painted banners protesting Italy's criminalization of abortion and reproductive rights. When riot police attack, peaceful protest erupts into violence. Burning buses illuminate the night while proletarian shopping, looting, spreads through streets. Yet revolutionary politics has its own hypocrisies. Filmmakers documenting the pregnant street girl Anna claim to expose injustice while exploiting her, filming her naked without consent and participating in her institutionalization. Their rhetoric about art for the people often masks a different kind of oppression. The novel opens with a vivid scene. An Italian soldier named Valera kills a German soldier using a motorcycle headlamp during World War I. This improvised violence establishes a central theme: how violence simultaneously creates and destroys. The headlamp, meant to illuminate darkness, becomes a weapon that transforms safety into death. Violence manifests in multiple forms: physical confrontations, sexual power dynamics, economic exploitation, and political revolution. When Sandro shoots a teenage mugger over $8, Reno observes the spreading bloodstain dispassionately. Later in Italy, as she witnesses riots, violence shifts from personal to political, with tear gas mixing with protest chants. Violence interweaves with creation throughout. Reno's art involves high-speed motorcycle riding, a form of drawing in time that courts destruction while creating ephemeral motion lines. Revolutionary movements use violence to birth a new social order. Even the Valera Motorcycle Company emerges from war and exploitation, its sleek machines built on a foundation of conflict. Throughout their journeys, characters pursue freedom only to discover its limitations. Reno seeks liberation through speed-riding motorcycles across Nevada deserts, experiencing momentary transcendence at 148 miles per hour before crashing. This pattern of illusory freedom followed by constraint repeats throughout the narrative. Sandro attempts to escape his family legacy by moving to New York and creating minimalist art, yet remains defined by the Valera name and fortune. Returning to Italy after his brother's death, he acknowledges being born on the wrong side of things, despite sympathizing with revolutionary movements. His privilege constrains his freedom to truly join the class struggle. The revolutionaries fight for political freedom, but create their own constraints. Filmmakers exploit Anna while claiming to make art for the people. When Bene becomes jealous of Reno's connection with Gianni, the women working alongside Reno suddenly ostracize her, revealing how personal dynamics undermine collective solidarity. Even as they challenge state power, these characters establish new hierarchies and restrictions. We're all outsiders somewhere. This truth resonates throughout the novel as Reno navigates multiple worlds without fully belonging to any. In the male-dominated art world, she's reduced to her relationship with Sandro. At the Valera estate, Signora Valera treats her with subtle cruelty, commenting that Sandro must have given her an expensive dress as a last-minute refurbishment. Even among Italian revolutionaries, her acceptance proves conditional when personal jealousies arise. The novel doesn't offer easy solutions to this outsider status. Instead, it suggests that moving between worlds becomes its own form of art. Freedom may be illusory, but movement itself offers momentary transcendence. This explains why speed becomes central to Reno's artistic practice, not as escape, but as recognition of the beauty in transition, in the spaces between belonging. The Flamethrowers reminds us that authentic experiences often happen in motion, in the moments when we're traveling between destinations rather than after arrival. Like Reno on her motorcycle, we draw lines through time and space, creating ephemeral art with our lives that exists precisely because it cannot last.